Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And well, guys, what an enormous difference that 24 hours can make. This time last night, the Rockets were coming off their third loss in four games in Miami. A lot of us were fretting what would happen with three games in the next four nights with the Rockets team that already appeared a little bit tired. Before the game tonight, second of a back-to-back, we learned that Ryan Anderson would again be out with the stomach virus he's been suffering through in recent days. So for a lot of Rockets fans, there was worry, anxiety going into this game. And boy, just like they've done all year long, whenever you seem to have a question with the Rockets, they answer in a big way. 111-92 winners over the Bucks on Wednesday night at Toyota Center. Nationally televised game. The Rockets absolutely showed out in a huge spot, led by, of course, James Harden. 38 points on 14 of 25 shooting, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Again, he had to be in a little bit more of a volume shooter mode. I thought the game plan from the Bucks tonight was fairly similar to the Heat on Tuesday, and that without Ryan Anderson, they collapsed on what shooters the Rockets had. They did not allow Harden his passing lanes, because without Ryan Anderson, there are fewer lanes to go around, but Harden simply made enough shots that it did not matter. And even against Giannis, the Greek freak, the Rockets, and especially Harden, were able to pick their spots and attack the rim enough to make it work. And as I said leading off, you have to give the Rockets credit for battling through adversity. I said last night that this was the first time that they had really had a true adversity patch, but a big part of that is because until this past week, they had yet to lose more than one consecutive game the entire season. Every single time they lost, and people would doubt, they seemed to come out with a stronger effort game the next time out, and that's exactly what we saw tonight from the Rockets. The key thing when I look at this game, the first quarter was not pretty. The Bucks won it 27-22, and the Rockets actually started 0 of 11 from 3. That is incredibly uncharacteristic from them, yet it felt like a continuation of Tuesday night in Miami when they shot below 25%, and it just had this here-we-go-again vibe. And then the Rockets got back in it through sheer defense, effort, rebounding, just basically making the little plays. The second quarter, they outscored Milwaukee 30-12. The key for the Rockets tonight was actually the block shots. They have 12 blocks for the game, led by 5 for Montrezl Harrell. They've only had 10 or more blocks in one other game the entire season. So this was their best performance out of 45, and really only one other has even been close. So that shows you the level of intensity that they brought to this game tonight. And it would have been very easy early on to sort of shrug your shoulders when the shots weren't going in, but the Rockets knew that if they brought it from a defensive perspective, if the energy was there on the glass, on the shot blocking, then they would be able to eventually grind through against a Milwaukee team that, well, Milwaukee's middle of the pack on offense. They average 105 points a game, and to the Rockets' credit, they held them to 92. That's a big turnaround from Tuesday night when the Heat averaged 98 points but scored 109. But the big key, we all know that the Bucks do not have that many shooters. To that end, they did shoot just 25% from three tonight, but it was about the game plan. Sure, Giannis got out in transition. He scored 32 points on 13 of 20 shooting, although most were in the first 2.5 quarters. When it mattered, the Rockets got back in transition. By and large, the key was that the Rockets knew that he would get his points, especially in transition, but the key was to not let anybody else get going, force the long threes when the Bucks were in the half court, and then when it mattered, when the Bucks really made a push, they got it to 8 midway through the fourth quarter, the Rockets got back on transition defense every single time. And when the Bucks were in a half-court set, they were able to provide just enough rim protection. And, well, they knew the Bucks were not a great three-point shooting team from outside, and they executed the game plan. And I know that it sounds simple, but if it were that simple, the Bucks would not be averaging 105 points a game. So it's one of those things, it's always simple to say, it's not always easy to execute, but the Rockets got it done. And on the second night of a back-to-back, when you know there are a lot of tired legs, you have to give them credit for this level of energy and performance on the defensive end, because all of them did it. James Harden had three blocks. He played 37 minutes. Beverly played 34 minutes. Trevor Ariza played 39 minutes. Haven't even discussed Eric Gordon yet, who got just a ridiculous plus 38, led the Rockets in his 32 minutes tonight. And sure, he had 25 points, 9 of 20 from the field, 7 of 17 from 3. So it was great to see him get hot again after last night. I talked that he had three games this month shooting below 20%. From behind the arc. But all four of those guys, and I would say that's your core four, Gordon, Harden, Ariza, and Beverly, those are the guys who are the heartbeat of this basketball team. They were all locked in from on the defensive side of the court. You can even say Harrell as well. I know Harrell doesn't get a lot of credit for his play on that end, but five blocks, that's showing out big time. So even on a second night of a back-to-back, even with the fatigue, the Rockets got back at middle of the night last night, and then we all know the incredible storms that were going on through Houston, so I don't think anybody really got that much sleep, yet still, they had enough pride, and they felt bad enough about the performance of Miami that you see them come out and play like this on Wednesday night. And this is the kind of performance that makes you feel really good about where the Rockets are at as a basketball team. Because I can sit here and analyze the X's and O's of basketball with you guys every day, but what I can't tell you is that character. What I can't tell you through just simple X's and O's, okay, these guys are the shooters, these are the rebounders, is, well, how is this team going to perform when the chips are down, when everything is against them, when the momentum seems to be not going their way and people doubt them? And every time we've seen it this year, they've come out with some of their best performances. And to their credit, it took until the last week for them to even lose two consecutive games and have a 3 out of 4 losing stretch. And so now people doubt them a little bit more because, well, it's only natural. At some point, teams do struggle. The Clippers lost, I believe, 6 or 7 games in a row in December, and that's the Rockets' closest competition for the number 3 seed right now. So it happens to anyone. And so for the Rockets, even with all the injuries, Ryan Anderson's still out, Clint Capella capped to, 11 minutes tonight, 9 on Tuesday. For the Rockets, on the second night of a back-to-back with just a brutal schedule this month to come out with this kind of showing, it shows you what this team is made of. And there are going to be nights when they're not hot from outside. Again, they started tonight just 0 of 11 from 3. But to see this level of mental resilience, that even when things weren't going their way, they didn't think they're getting a lot of foul calls. Actually, James Harden, he scored his 38 points, only went to the free throw line 6 times. There were a ton of times in this game that I saw James complaining to the officials for fouls that, honestly, he probably deserved. And in prior seasons, I think that might have taken a toll on his effort. You might have seen him start to check out a little bit. That did not happen tonight. And so credit to James for his resilience. And despite not getting the calls, despite not making a lot of threes early on, he, Eric, Pat, Trevor, that core four, they really got it done. And the Rockets, even though it was an up-and-down performance from three, I know it felt like they made a ton in the fourth quarter, but they only shot 14 of 44, that's just below 32%. That's a subpar shooting performance from them. And yet the Rockets won by 19 points on the second night of a back-to-back against a pretty talented Milwaukee team. So we're going to talk a lot about individuals. I've given praise to James and Eric already. Should also point out Pat Beverly, 5 of 10, 2 of 4 from 3. Montrezl Harrell, 5 of 8 for 12 points. A lot of decent individual performances, but more than anything, this was about the strength as a team that the Rockets showed, their discipline on the defensive end, and a night after maybe their most discouraging performance of the season, they've rebounded with one of their better ones. So this is why teams around the league fear the Rockets, and this is why fans are starting to really buy in, because this is a team that they don't just have it from a talent standpoint, they seem to have it from a chemistry and mental standpoint too, and tonight was a big reminder of that when the Rockets needed it most. Now, I know Clint Capella individually, he just played 11 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field and 5 points tonight. That's better than missing all his shots and not scoring on Tuesday night in Miami. But the big thing I thought for Clint, the turning point in this game was the stretch early in the second quarter when Milwaukee was up 27-22 after one. James Harden had played, I think, the entire first quarter, and so the Rockets had to survive that six-minute stretch when Harden needed to rest from the start of the quarter until about the under-six timeout. And really, with how poorly they were shooting and the lack of energy in the Toyota Center, it could have gotten away from them. Instead, they grinded away. They actually outscored Milwaukee 25-5 in the first 10-plus minutes of the second quarter. Eventually won the quarter 30-12. But the thing is, if you go back and watch that, and the Rockets actually had an 18-0 run in there, it was very atypical for the Rockets. We think a lot of these runs for the Rockets, they just hit a ton of threes at once. They actually didn't shoot that much better in the second quarter when they went on this 25-5 run. It was just the defense was so damn good that over the course of, 10 minutes, the Rockets eventually had 25 points because they had enough possessions. They never got blistering hot from outside, but that's okay. It's just when you hold the opponent to 5 points, that's eventually going to add up. And again, that's not going to happen every night. The Bucks were cold from the outside, and it wasn't a great night for them. But it's always a tale of two sides. And for the Rockets, their energy on the defensive end was so good. That was a big part of why they were able to hold the Bucks to 5 points in plus 10 minutes. And just a complete reversal of what happened on Tuesday. Tuesday, they played one of the worst teams in the NBA. Miami on offense, 29-30. And averaged 98 points a game. They scored 109. And the Rockets completely flipped it in the second quarter on Wednesday night at Toyota Center, and never really felt like they were in much trouble in the second half. Other thing I should point out, I know we're all going to say that it's great that Eric Gordon hit all these shots, and it is, for a guy that's basically had 5 games this month where he either didn't play or shot below 20%. Yeah, it's great to see Eric get hot, especially in the fourth quarter, made 7 threes tonight. That's fantastic. But again, over the course of time, he's a great shooter. You know that's going to come, and it's going to be even more when Ryan Anderson gets back. Again, this is not a major injury. It's just a stomach virus, and I think you give him a couple of days off. I'm betting he's good to go against the Warriors on Friday night. The really encouraging things that I liked were the effort plays. When the Rockets, you could tell they kicked it into another gear when it mattered, and that's when, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes you really believe in this team against elite competition, that they, as good as the Rockets are this year, they're now 33-12, that they have yet another gear they can kick it into when they need it. And in the fourth quarter, the big sequence to me, the Bucks had hit a three, they cut it to 7. I said earlier they cut it to 8. No, actually, at one point, they did cut it to 7, and it felt like, okay, are they really going to make a push? The Rockets were a little sluggish. Well, Gordon missed a wide-open three that would have pushed it to 10, and then Montrezl Harrell, of all people, grabs an offensive rebound. Montrezl actually had 8 rebounds in his 27 minutes tonight, 4 on offense, but Harrell got the offensive rebound. He kicked it to Ariza for 3. That was one of 4 assists for Montrezl Harrell, and the Rockets were up 10. Then they got a stop on the other end. Harden hits a 3. It's a 13-point game. He's doing the shimmy, and you know at that point that the Rockets are going to win this game. So really, yes, they shot the ball better in the final 3 quarters. After starting 0 of 11 from 3, the Rockets made, 14 of their last 33. But this was not overall a great shooting performance from the Rockets. It was a great performance overall because of how well they performed in all phases. And I know I talked about the blocks, the rebounding. It didn't necessarily show up in the rebounds tonight because Milwaukee is a huge team. But for the Rockets to only get out-rebounded 50-46 with Clint Capella just playing 11 minutes, that's a win. They competed on the glass. And Capella, to his credit, those minutes early in the second quarter when he played, that's where I was trying to go earlier, those minutes early with Harden out, Capella and Beverly, they were basically the linchpins of holding the Bucks to those 5 points. So Capella provided some rim protection. We saw Pat Beverly with one of his best defensive games in a while. So yeah, those were the little things that happened that got the Rockets this win. The other thing, we've talked about defense, we've talked about rebounding, we've talked about shot blocking. Haven't talked about assists. Yes, James Harden had 8, and we're used to that. Actually, that's a few below the average for him. And as I said earlier, without Ryan Anderson, there wasn't really the distribution game for Harden tonight. Jason Kidd had his Bucks well-prepared for how to defend the Rockets. But it's the other players. Montrezl Harrell had 4 assists. Trevor Ariza had 4 assists. Pat Beverly had 5. You could see there was a concerted effort to find the open man, to keep swinging the ball, and there was no tendency to play hero ball. The Rockets were just going to win this game through sheer effort. They crashed the glass. They made every effort play with regards to loose balls, blocking shots. And as far as the offense in the court, they didn't settle for bad shots. They didn't play isolation ball. They kept that ball moving and believed that eventually the shots would fall. And, well, ultimately, they did. About the only negative you could point out, Corey Brewer in his 18 minutes, just 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from behind the arc, minus 20 in 18 minutes, it's not good. But I think all of us at this point know that A, Corey Brewer is not a good basketball player anymore. Rockets would love to upgrade his rotation spot by the February trade deadline. I've mentioned possibilities like Thabo Sefolosha on this show before. But right now, the Rockets don't have much of a choice with Ryan Anderson out. There's only so many options that they have, and really, Sam Dekker, even off the bench, Dekker played 25 minutes compared to just 18 for Brewer as a starter. So I think that should show you that Mike D'Antoni, he's not just blindly going to Corey Brewer. I think the reason Mike D'Antoni gives Corey Brewer the starting slot in a lot of these games where someone like Beverly or Ryan Anderson is out is because Brewer's role is less important. With guys like Eric Gordon or Sam Dekker, you want them to stay in their usual role off the bench so they're comfortable. That's something that D'Antoni has talked about from day one of the preseason, is getting everyone in this team to buy into their roles. And so Corey Brewer, I know it's frustrating for now because he's not a good basketball player anymore. He's not a good shooter, never has been, and that's exposed in this offense. And the athleticism that made him a decent bench player a couple of years ago is now fading, and it happens to a lot of NBA players once they get to the 30-plus side. So Corey, great guy, not really a great player anymore, but I don't think Mike D'Antoni has any intense loyalty to him. I just think Corey starting in these games, he's about the only negative you could find tonight, is because, well, it's the least disruption you could possibly have. I'm pretty confident that Friday, after a day off and with the Warriors in town, Ryan Anderson is going to be good to go. He's going to be ready, and at that point, Corey Brewer is going to go back to just a 12 to 15 minute per game roll off the bench, and with any luck, Gerald Morey can further upgrade that spot with a better shooter and maybe even a better defender as well by the February trade deadline. And if you stick here at Locked On Rockets, of course, we will have you covered. By the way, speaking of that, I can't believe I've made it to the end of this podcast without acknowledging the shout-out from ESPN's Doris Burke. She, of course, was the color commentator for the national broadcast of the game, and she mentioned the interview that I had with Daryl Morey last week talking about Eric Gordon's injury situation and why, even though a lot of teams were discouraged, the fact that it wasn't chronic, which is actually a point we've made here before, made the Rockets buy into him. And well, at 4 years, $53 million, that contract is an absolute steal in the modern NBA. Appreciate Doris for listening. Personally, I've always been a big fan of Doris, not just sucking up to her because she mentioned the podcast nationally, which was great, but Doris does one of the things that I really strive to do here, which Doris does not talk down to listeners. I'm not going to call out anybody because, well, every show has different listeners that they're targeting. But for me, what I try to do here at Locked On Rockets is assume that you guys are intelligent. I assume that you guys don't want just the basics. Well, James Harden scored this many points and the Rockets made a lot of threes and this is great. I assume you guys want a little bit deeper. I assume you guys know the X's and O's of the game, and you want some inside information that you might not be able to get anywhere else. And I think that's why this podcast is doing really well, and I also think that's why Doris is doing so well as a broadcaster. There is a niche for people who basically assume higher intelligence on behalf of their listeners, and so far, so good. Her mentioning on the broadcast just, well, it made me very happy, but it also made me want to thank you guys for listening to me so much. We have experienced enormous growth over the last few months that we've been doing this. We're now getting over usually 10,000 listens a week on average. So I appreciate you guys so much for being with me through the ride, and I hope we can continue to grow in the months ahead. With that said, I'll sign off. It's not the last you'll hear from me this week because, well, yeah, the Rockets have had three games, but they still got two more. Golden State on Friday night, that's another nationally televised game from Toyota Center, so I'll have you guys covered then. We also have at Memphis on Saturday night, the first game of a lengthy road trip. So yeah, it's the busiest week of the year for the Rockets, 5 games in 7 nights. And if you stick with me here at Locked On Rockets, we will certainly have you covered. Again, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. You follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also search for us at Locked On Rockets on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom. Just search for Locked On Rockets. We have all sorts of content. We do lots of daily recaps, such as this one with just me. We also have lots of interviews. Had Craig Ackerman, the lead play-by-play broadcaster, just a couple of days ago. Had Gerald Morey at the end of last week talking about the first half of the season. So whether you want just a game recap or you want a bigger picture interview about where the Rockets are at, we do try and do a nice blend of everything here at Locked On Rockets. And your listening is why I'm able to bring this to you on a daily basis. Also, if you're listening and you have something you'd like to advertise, I would love to hear from you. If your company is interested, particularly in men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be very interested in Locked On Rockets, and you can be advertised right here in this show. Our audience is over 95% men, and nearly 80% of the audience is between the ages of 18 to 44. Numerous recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are about 65% more willing to consider purchasing products that they've learned about from podcasts, and, well, 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcast. Our rates are reasonable, so if you're a Locked On Rockets listener and you have something that you want to promote and you want to reach men specifically between the ages of 18 to 54, then just email us at lockdownrockets@gmail.com, and we would be happy to speak with you about negotiating your product on this show. Again, you guys as listeners are a big part of why I'm able to bring this to you, and sponsors help even more. So if you're interested, please reach out to me, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, and I will put you in touch with our representatives. For now, I'll sign off. Again, very happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 111, Bucks 92. Rockets now 33-12 on the year in firm command of the number 3 seed in the Western Conference. By the way, we haven't even talked about last night. I was so upset with the loss. We didn't talk about Chris Paul's torn ligament in his thumb. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So Clippers, the Rockets' closest competition for the number 3 spot. And really, with the Paul injury, the Rockets should be even better positioned to gain ground in the weeks ahead. They're up 3 games now. But without Chris Paul, the Rockets are in a very good position to gain even more in the coming days and weeks. Anyway, I'll finally sign off. Again, Rockets 111, Bucks 92, back in action for a showdown with the top-seeded Warriors on Friday night, and I'll be talking with you then here on Locked On Rockets. Have a good night.